This is Under Understood.
Hello.
Hey, Billy.
Hi.
Regina is out sick today, but we're going to do a mailbag episode.
What's a mailbag episode?
Thank you for asking, John. A mailbag episode is an episode where we go through mail as if we're pulling it from a bag.
Is this like, it's like Blue's Clues?
Yes.
I've never seen Blue's Clues.
Okay.
What?
Great.
Is that right, though?
Yeah.
Isn't there a section where you go
through
the mail?
They go get the mail, yeah. Yeah. Mail time.
Mail time.
Yeah, this is mail time.
I kind of like that better than mailbag. We'll have the lawyers look into the copyright issue.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
If this is your first time listening, you might want to start with a different episode.
If you go to underunderstood.com, there's a big start here link at the top. Click that. You'll see some of our favorites. But this is going to be a little untraditional because we're just going to...
Right.
We're just going to read some mail, do some follow-up.
It's for insiders, you know?
Yeah, this is inside baseball.
But also, welcome. We hope you enjoy our podcast.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome, and please leave. So, we're going to go through a couple of things that we've been getting in our inbox, in our voicemail, stuff people have been contacting us about, some follow-up, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
To some stories.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to start with, you know, our last episode was about a video game that someone remembered but couldn't really, like, find anymore, or couldn't find other people who remembered. And we've actually been getting a lot of messages about this sort of thing.
Did you find them all?
Well, let me just read you these messages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a listener, Paige, wrote in almost a year ago. Hi, Under Understood team. Here's what I haven't been able to answer on the internet. For years, I've been trying to track down a video game that my sister and I used to play in elementary school, late 90s, early 2000s. Why'd you laugh?
Is it called Disney VMK?
It's not Disney VMK, no.
Okay.
It says, it was a snowboarding game that we played on my dad's MacBook. Not any of the mainstream games of the time. From what I remember, it included downhill and half-pipe snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
You could ride on pre-built courses, create your own snowboarding courses, run time trials, and do tricks. You could also get stuck between the edge of the course and a tree and and struggle for a long time to get free. Great feature. I've been trying to figure out what this game was for years. I'd love to see it again and would be even more thrilled to play it again. Thanks, Paige.
It's a big ask. I'm just thinking about old Mac software, and I remember some, although maybe this was for Windows, maybe this is much older. I'm imagining like a downhill, like most snowboarding games I feel like are 3D or quasi-3D, and I'm imagining one where you're like looking straight at the hill and just falling downward. But now I'm thinking maybe this was like an early Windows game.
Yeah, the listener says late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Which also they say MacBook, which I believe the first MacBook came out in 2006. So it might have been like a PowerBook or something. That might just be a semantic thing.
Gotcha, Paige.
Gotcha, Paige. Trying to waste our time saying you were playing a MacBook game in the late 90s. Impossible.
An element of the mailbag is that we roast everybody who writes into us, right?
It seems unwise.
No better way to be on the winning side of a roast than roasting someone for confusing a PowerBook with a MacBook.
I like the idea of a losing and a winning side of a roast.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely be the roaster and lose the roast for sure. So that was, like I said, that was almost a year ago. And unfortunately, like, we hadn't really no one responded to the message.
Look, our email is very difficult to navigate.
Yeah. But thankfully, Paige emailed again just about a week ago and said, hey, Under Understood team, I listened to your recent Mandela or the Man episode and remembered that I'd sent this a while back. Here is the answer I wound up finding. And Paige put a link here. I will share the link. This will be in the show notes too. And then they say, it was real, just no longer supported anywhere. best page.
What?
So here's the link. So this is montyboyd.com/Sloperider.
It's Sloperider for iPhone and iPod Touch.
So you can play it.
Well, no.
What?
Page says it's not supported anymore anywhere.
Oh.
But it looks so modern.
It looks so good. I would play this.
Yeah, it looks like a modern game for sure. Yeah. I mean, not, I wouldn't say modern, but I would say like...
yeah, it's kind of like, I don't
PS2
know.
PS2 era.
Yeah, PS2. Yeah, it looks like the like Dance Dance Revolution, like blocky dancers mm-hmm. on snowboards.
This is how old we are that we refer to PS2 era games as
modern.
Relatively modern. Yeah, what was that like 20 years ago?
It says... Well, so this is for the App Store version on iPhone and iPod Touch. It says, the wildly successful 3D snowboarding game for the Mac has been carefully redesigned specifically for iPhone's unique interface, meaning a faster, smoother ride and controls that handle like a dream. Sloperider is an adrenaline-pumping, high-speed ride that delivers an awesome extreme sports experience without the reality of broken bones, frozen fingers, and hours of queuing.
Like they're explaining the point of video games.
This is, oh man. What happens when you click the App Store link?
It doesn't work. Nothing.
This is like a real problem with old iOS games.
Yeah.
I saw a YouTube video the other day about somebody who had figured out how to emulate Super Monkey Ball for like the,
yes.
from the second year of the iPhone. And it's like really an outlier exception as a piece of software that can be emulated.
Yeah, I was just reading about this. This like just happened. It was like a new emulator to run iOS software. But they basically made, my understanding is like the initial version of it just supports Super Monkey Ball and like a few other, it was like optimized for Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah.
Because that was like the big, one of the big like launch games. And then there's like some other things it supports, but it's really like on a piece by piece basis. And this game was a relatively big deal. I mean, it says the wildly successful 3D snowboarding game for the Mac. And it was a big enough deal to be on stage at an Apple event when it was ported over to the iPhone.
Did you pull this up?
Yeah. So
September 2009?
Yeah, the Apple special event, September 2009. So this is after they had already launched the App Store.
We're so excited about the incredible growth and amazing software on the iPod Touch that we've made it yet another ad to show all the world about how great an iPod Touch is. Our agency's created this really killer ad, and I'd like to run it for you now.
We're so excited we've made yet another ad.
So, okay, we're seeing a car game. We're seeing, like, a roller coaster game. Oh, we're seeing, you can play air hockey,
baseball,
golf. These are all, like, 3D games. Oh, there it was for a second. You see it?
I thought that was, like, a...
No, it was there.
Oh, boy. Really went by quick.
Yeah, it's like someone spinning on a snowboard for, like, a second there. But, yeah, so this game that was important enough to include... in this Apple event is now, yeah, you can't get it anywhere. You can't play it anywhere.
Was this a single person effort?
Yes.
Because that was a lot of early successful iPhone games were just like one person.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this was just one developer, Monty Boyd. So I reached out to Monty and I got a response.
Nice.
I basically just sent pages... message. I basically just forwarded it and said, like, hey, like, could you help with this? And this is what I got in response. Hi, Billy. Wow, thanks for this email. It really brightened my day. So nice Aww. To hear Sloperider is a nice memory from your listener's childhood, smiley face. Unfortunately, there isn't a current way to play Sloperider.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent version was for iOS, but I couldn't justify paying the yearly Apple developer program fee last year.
Oh, man.
Which means it was taken down.
Oh, so it was just last year.
Yeah. It's, they say, it is still playable on iOS devices which have it installed from before. Like if you have an old device that still has it on, I guess you can still play it.
What if you've already downloaded it before then? Can you go back into your download history or your purchases thing? You know what I mean?
Seems like they're saying that it's not possible, that it was taken down.
Jeez.
Actually, they go on to say, but it can't be downloaded or shared to any devices that don't have it. However, I have found a Mac OS 9 emulator, and I am seeing if I can get the old Mac version working on that. I'll keep you posted on whether that works out or not.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it's over 20 years since I created the first version. Kind regards, Monty.
I'm looking at the screenshots on this website, and I just want to, I want to play it.
Yeah, you want to hit that half pipe.
Yes. I want to shred.
All you want to do is shred.
All I want to do. What am I always saying to you guys?
You want to shred and hit that half pipe.
Yes.
So then actually, Monty just started writing on Mastodon about this.
After you reached out?
After I reached out. So yeah, they tooted. Well, that was a pleasant surprise. I received an email from the Under Understood podcast about a listener trying to find my early 2000s Mac snowboarding game, Slope Rider. The game was a nice memory from their childhood. Unfortunately, there is no way to play it now. I stopped paying the Apple dev program last year, so the iOS version isn't downloadable anymore. I'm investigating, and they link to macOS9.app, which is a URL you can go to, which is really cool. I hadn't used this before. macOS9.app to see if I can get it running there. Hard to believe it's 20 years old now. That's proper retro, even if it's not 8-bit level retro.
We're starting a movement.
Oh, wow. This is cool. I'm on it right now.
Yeah. So Monty links to this website, macOS9.app, which basically lets you run OS 9, old version of the Mac operating system, like in your browser. And it's like, it's, you know, it's like fully functional. As there's apps you can open, it's like the whole OS. There's games in here.
Is this actually running the OS, or is all of this like simulated off of the look of old Mac OS or OS 9?
No, this is running the actual OS.
Okay.
I got my daughter very into a game that I used to play as a kid called Mixed Up Mother Goose, which is a point-and-click Sierra adventure game made for kids where you try to, like different nursery rhymes have all lost things from their nursery rhymes, and you have to, like, find them and bring them back to them. So, like, Jack and Jill lost their pail of water, and you're, like, got to go find it. She's very into it. And actually, thanks to the Internet Archive, you can stream the DOS version of it in your browser.
Wow.
Which was the version that I grew up playing. But I found out later that there was like a more enhanced version for Mac OS 9. So I set up with something called UTM, a virtual machine to run Mac OS 9 on my computer. And then like was able to like run an old copy of this game, and it runs perfectly.
And it's great that your daughter also has learned about emulation now. That's right. She can spin up a VM when she needs to do this herself next time.
That's right. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the main thing I was trying to teach her. She's still getting a hold of like using a mouse.
Okay.
She just turned 4. But
I thought we were post-mouse. I thought we were in a post-mouse
Well,
era.
We are, which is why like I wanted to get her into this game so that she could learn to use a mouse. Because everything else she would play for the most part is either like a controller or a touchscreen.
Okay, wait, did Monty get this working?
Sorry, so Monty continued writing on Mastodon. Slope Rider's code is deeply reliant on OpenGL, so any attempt to update for modern Apple OS would be a lot of work. The Mac version has a lot of QuickTime too. Good memories. More Slope Rider trivia. My dev environment was Mac Programmers Workshop, MPW, as this was long before the days of Unity, et cetera. So they're saying it's long before like game engines that like made the underlying parts of like creating a 3D world easier for a developer. Long before the days of Unity, et cetera, I wrote my own skeletal animation tool for animating the characters. It was called Skeletor. The Mac version included the level designer I wrote called Powder as part of the download. It was pretty tricky to use. but I did receive a couple of levels from players. So anyway, Monty's working on this, but I'm thinking to myself, like, I got mixed up Mother Goose running. So like,
oh,
maybe I should try to do it my way, not with this like browser thing. So I start playing around with it, and then I email Monty back and I say, update. I started trying this a bit myself after getting your response, and I sort of got it to work in UTM running macOS 9.2.1. I already had a VM for this setup because I use it to play mixed up Mother Goose with my four-year-old. And I said, I've got the demo version of SlopeRider running, but I think it's struggling with the graphics. And I attached a video. Let me pull that up here.
Where'd you get the installer for that?
Well, if you Google, once you know the name of it,
I'm not
Google
asking you to.
SlopeRider Mac download. One thing you'll find is this website, MacintoshRepository.org, which is a website for what you would call abandonware for the Macintosh software that is no longer supported. This just so happens to be where I also got mixed up Mother Goose. Listen, if you set up your own macOS 9 virtual machine, lots of great games in here you can download.
I believe it.
SlopeRider is on here. You could find it. 10.23 megabytes.
Wow.
You're saying wow because it's small, right, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a game
I've
like this.
I've been told that the Last of Us remake is going to be 100 gigabytes to download.
Okay, wow. Wait, so that would be... So
it's 100,000 times, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Please Google this and get this
I'm wrong,
right.
I'm wrong, it's 10,000 times. It's 10,000 times.
Okay, that's still a lot of thousands. Here's my screen capture of me trying to play this game that I sent to Monty.
Wow.
Okay.
macOS 9 looks great. I love this.
Uh-huh. It really does.
Got a dialogue that just said the number -1.
Yep, but the
but
game opened.
I see it. This is great.
So I'm in the game.
So you're hitting the play button. Nope.
Well, I wanted to check out the options first, so I checked out the options. Yeah, okay, we got texture smoothing on.
There it is. Okay, it's chugging along, but it's definitely snowboarders.
I'm not getting great frame rates. And also the graphics look a little butchered, like the colors aren't quite right.
It's like dithered. Yeah.
Also, I hadn't quite figured out the mechanics of the game yet.
Sure. We're watching a bad playthrough of the game.
Yeah. So anyway, I got this far, which is like, it's, you know, it's not great, but it's like playable.
Yeah.
Did you send this to Paige?
No, not yet.
You wiped
really
out.
What? Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, I got stuck behind the tree. This is what Paige was talking about. On the edge of the course. Now I'm stuck between the tree and the edge of the course.
Well, yeah. You have to send this to Paige so that experience can be repeated.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't want to ruin her childhood memory by having this. Yeah, these weird, like, dithered colors and low frame rate.
You want to wait for the perfect experience before presenting it to Paige.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to send them a suboptimal version of this game. So I captured what I was able to do. I sent it to Monty, and Monty said, "Hi, Billy. Thanks for going to all of that effort. You got further than me. But I think, as you said, any emulation probably won't have hardware acceleration for the graphics anyway." Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd been speculating like, oh, good. Well, OpenGL. I was like pretending like I actually knew what I was talking about. Like, oh, OpenGL graphics, like in emulation when you're doing them on an ARM processor. But, you know, Monty sort of backed me up and said, yeah, like this, like it seems like the current state of emulation for this stuff, there's going to be issues with the graphics. They went on to say, "I would happily rejoin the Apple developer program to get it back out there, but I would need to update the code significantly because it uses a lot of now deprecated libraries."
Mm.
So basically, I think they're saying like this wouldn't even really run on new devices.
Or it would get rejected from the App Store at this point if you had to rejoin and resubmit.
Well, I just don't think it would run on a new iPhone without a lot of work going into updating it.
Mm.
These days, I spend my game creation time making games for the Commodore 64.
Oh my God.
And they link to their itch.io store and they say an even older retro computer. So they actually have some incredible games for the Commodore 64. Definitely, I recommend checking these out if you're into this kind of thing. I downloaded Knights and Slimes 64. Incredible deal at $2.99.
Great name too.
And Commodore 64, unlike Mac games from the early 2000s, Commodore 64 games run great in emulation. So if you don't have an actual Commodore 64, you can buy these games, run them no problem. So then anyway, we're going back and forth talking about Knights and Slimes. And then I said, if I mention this story on the show, would it be okay with me opening it up for other people to see if they can get Slope Rider working with emulation or VMs or whatever? Like, what are your feelings on people running old software of yours or finding like abandonware links? And I said, I just want to be respectful, like, to you and your work. And Monty said, I'm totally okay with people trying to get the Mac OS version of Slope Rider up and running via emulation. In fact, I would love to find out if someone manages to do it. Appreciate you asking, though. I have just found the code generator I use for supplying people with registration codes when they bought it. I'm happy to give out codes for this if anyone asks.
Oh my God.
Like the link that I found that lets you download it, it was originally shareware originally, which is like,
oh, okay,
usually software that'll run in some kind of demo mode unless you have a license. So I was just running it in like the demo mode.
Yeah.
But Monty is able to get the code generator working and says that if anyone is like genuinely interested in trying to get this working, they just reach out and they'd be happy to like give you a code to run the full thing. I would say try to get it working in demo mode first. If you're making some significant progress and you need a code for the full version, then maybe reach out. Don't flood Monty with requests, but they're being very generous in offering that. So that's kind of where we left it. I mean, I think like Paige will probably hear this, but I just want this to be perfect for Paige. And it seems like the only way to get there that I can figure out right now is to like get an old PowerBook or something, like an old Mac.
But that's not practical.
Right.
For Paige.
Right. But that seems like the best option right now would be to get like an old Mac that runs well still.
I have faith that someone will figure out how to make this run with the right acceleration.
You think?
I have faith.
All right. Well, the challenge is open. I feel like if anyone could do it, it's our listeners, but I don't know. I couldn't get it working. And I got mixed up Mother Goose working, so I'm just saying.
We have literal game developers in our audience.
That would be very cool if someone did.
Yes. So all the links for that will be in the show notes. We have Monty's blessing, the original developer, and hopefully we can let Paige relive their childhood, because this is like this weird category of games that are hard to get running.
Right.
So yeah, I feel like I made some progress on this. We've got Monty's blessing, but we still need to get the game totally working. So I don't know. I had fun
crashing into a tree.
Yeah, right. I was wasting time crashing into a tree, getting caught between the tree and the border of the game that I probably should have been doing other things, but I was having fun with it. So I'm sure there are other people who find tinkering with this kind of stuff fun. If that's you, we could use your help, maybe. Okay, this listener question is a game that someone can't find, and I have literally no idea where to start with this, which is why I'm playing it here today.
I thought you were telling us that the call itself will be a game that we have to play.
No, do not. No, that sounds terrifying. Like someone
a little threatening.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Okay.
So this is from a caller named Emily in North Texas.
Hi, Understood. My name is Emily and I live in North Texas, and I'm calling because I've been searching for this Android app that I had in about 2012 or 2013, I was in eighth grade, where you take care of this disembodied cartoon adult man's head, and it grew broccoli from its hair follicles. It may have been asparagus, but you took care of it like a Tamagotchi. I think it may have been like a little bathroom cabinet or something in the game. It was in Chinese, which I don't speak. Well, I don't know how, like, what search terms to use. I've been trying to type in just, like, Chinese Broccoli Man cartoon app. I just different variants of that. Nothing comes up. And I don't have access to the Google Play account or the email that I used to register that Google Play account. So there's no way for me to, like, go back through my app history. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, my God. I want to play this so bad.
Yeah.
I want to feed the broccoli man.
You take care of a disembodied cartoon adult man's head, and you grow broccoli from its hair follicles.
But maybe asparagus.
Yeah, it might be asparagus.
Can you feed it broccoli?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. This seems a little dark. If potentially
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. How could this go? Yeah. Can you feed it the thing that's growing out of
their
its head?
Their body is like a fully hydroponic system.
Uh-huh.
They can eat their own nutrients that they're growing.
You just water
this
man
scalp.
And yeah.
So yeah, I have no idea. I tried looking into this a little bit and I was getting absolutely nowhere. I have no idea how to help this person.
What did you do?
I mean, I was doing similar searches. I tried like translating different phrases into Chinese and using that to search. Mm-hmm. Tries using Chinese search engines. I mean, it sounds like it was on Google Play. So I tried searching like phrases that I'm probably poorly translating into Chinese on Google Play. I wasn't finding anything. I also was doing a lot of image searches in hopes that like that would be like a fast way to just go through a bunch of stuff and like keep going until I see a disembodied head with broccoli growing out of it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't turning up anything.
The best punchline of this is going to be that we're going to find it, and it's going to be Ryan Broderick's head.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I didn't find it, but I did find a game called Broccoli Jump that is sort of like Angry Birds with a broccoli in like a household setting.
Oh. See, Broccoli Jump, I would assume that's more of like a runner game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a temple
jumping
run
over broccoli. Yep.
But in the screenshot that I found on Google Images, it looked like maybe, you know, it was just the head.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's not it.
Not it, though.
This would be such a good Apple Watch app. I really want this. Like, this disembodied
head
with broccoli.
Head? Yeah.
Yeah, on your wrist. Like, it would be like a Tamagotchi, but now and weird.
Yeah, and I feel like leaning into the fact that it's like, that it's from another country, I feel like would be to its benefit. Like, just keep it, like, quirky and true to its origins. You know, don't try to, like, Americanize it. Like, just let me have the disembodied Chinese head with broccoli growing out of it on my Apple Watch.
Billy, I can't wait for you to find this developer and then assist them in emulating it on a 2013 Android.
Well, that's
SDK
the thing.
Or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I do feel like this is a problem. I feel like I read some stuff about how it seems like maybe they're starting to work through like how to archive Android games on places like the Internet Archive. But, you know, it's like there's a lot of this stuff just kind of like disappearing. It's really hard to preserve compared to old games where people had physical copies of them that they hung on to and you could then like digitize those and make copies.
Mm-hmm.
This person is just, yeah, they play this in their childhood. They no longer have access to the account or the device. No way of even knowing what it was called. How do you preserve stuff like that? I don't know.
It's so annoying that you,
Yeah.
Every game ever must be preserved.
I mean, but I think
yes,
so.
Actually,
I think that's a good.
Yes.
I think that's a good goal. We try to do that with books.
Yeah.
Music to a certain extent, movies. Some of the most famous American filmmakers like spend a lot of their free time trying to preserve old films, just as like film enthusiasts, like Steven Spielberg has put a bunch of money into this. Martin Scorsese has, of just like finding old films that were never digitized, finding multiple copies of like old film reels of them and like making the best possible transfers of them. things that would just be otherwise completely, completely lost.
Just let it go. We don't have to save everything.
No. Just let it go. I wish Regina were here because she would have such a strong opinion about it.
Why? What would she say? What do you think she would say?
I mean, Regina is so all about archives and...
Oh, right.
What if you need it later?
I mean...
I do think this game should be resurrected.
Yes, I want to take care of the Broccoli Man.
But I also think there's some...
Do you think the Broccoli Man's okay? Is anyone taking care of him anymore?
Maybe the developer of the Broccoli Man head game wants it to be forgotten.
Okay, yeah, like the Flappy Bird guy.
Yeah, what about the right to be forgotten?
I mean, it was a published game. It was not like somebody's like personal diary entry or whatever. Like, it's a game that was like in an app store. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
It now belongs to everyone.
I kind of feel that way. I mean, that's the way a lot of archivists look at things. I think the people who take that hardline stance are doing very valuable work, and this is one area where it's way harder than normal to do that work, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. What's promising here is that it was an Android app, and there are lots of websites dedicated to having archived versions of APKs, which are the, you know, the executable app file on on an Android phone.
It's also possible, because it's Chinese, that it's out there, but we just can't find it.
Don't have the search term for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
As English speakers, we don't have this. Yeah.
Right. So it might be helpful for me to talk to Emily more. I don't know if like Emily was playing this Chinese game because Emily is Chinese or has Chinese family members, or somehow Emily just stumbled upon this game.
Mm-hmm. Right. I would like to know that as well. How did Emily come to discover this game?
Came pre-installed on an HTC One or something.
Right. They just found a Android device laying in a gutter somewhere. Had a bunch of Chinese apps on it.
T-Mobile had a deal with the developer. And
I might do some follow-up here, but I'm playing it in this mailbag episode because I have no idea where to start. And I feel like maybe by roping some more people in, we can get some better leads, or like at least some better ideas of where to start to solve this problem. Because
surely
I just love
someone in our audience has played this game.
This question. I would love to help Emily out. It's got to be something we can do.
Can do a real quick Triscuit update.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us what's new.
Okay. This is funny. I've done, two stories on the feed since coming back? And I guess there was a lot of Raisins feedback, but almost no one had anything like meaty to add to the story. However, the Triscuit thing. Wow. Everyone has something to say about Triscuit.
So if people haven't listened to the Triscuit episode yet, they should. But Could you briefly recap the story?
Basically, in 2016, a friend of ours, Sage, found out or was told by the Triscuit people that Triscuit is called Triscuit, that they didn't know why it was called Triscuit officially, but that it didn't mean three. And then in 2020, like right at the beginning of the pandemic, Sage found out that it probably means electricity biscuit. And then Triscuit somehow magically came around and said, oh, we confirmed it. You're right. Electricity biscuit. And now that has also gone away. And it's completely ambiguous whether this means electricity biscuit three or something else.
Okay.
Okay.
Or Trinity biscuit.
That was a late arrival to the theories, but sure. Okay. So going down some updates from the audience, someone who goes by Megotelek in Discord, who told us that they work with patents in their day job and kind of knows their way around the patent system, offered patent number GB19022534A, and that's out of Great Britain. And the name of this patent is Improvements in and Relating to Apparatus for Baking Biscuit, Crackers, and the Like. This was also filed by someone we talked about in that episode, Henry Perkey, in 1902.
Oh.
And this patent describes an improvement to the baking apparatus specifically for filamentous crackers.
Oh, gosh.
Triscuit, yes.
Wait, it's an update? There's some other patent for the...
Well, you remember that this Henry Perkey had like 42 patents to his name in the U.S. Mm-hmm. alone. This one's in Britain for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. So this is one of many baking and cracker-related patents that this guy had. So quoting from that, the apparatus comprises an oven or casing fitted with an inner and an outer endless baking chain or band, each having irons preferably heated by electricity.
Okay, electricity.
Yes.
So this is like, this is what we were kind of looking for when we were looking through these patents, that like, yes, this Henry Perkey person had a patent on a baking apparatus specifically for Triscuit that is preferably heated by electricity. So it was kind of part of the design of the Triscuit baking process, it sounds like, was that electricity was always intended to bake them.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting pull quote from this particular patent, quote, the oven is usually packed or lined with asbestos.
Hmm.
So that was all mixed there too, I guess. You asked if they taste any different today, Billy. Maybe.
Yeah.
One of the three ingredients.
Yeah, the tri actually just stands for try death. How would you like to try dying?
Try to stay alive.
Try to stay alive eating an asbestos biscuit.
The original name was Asbestos.
Asbestos, yeah. Asbiscuits.
Okay. And then, so that's the patent stuff. Billy, you sent me something.
Uh-huh.
I consider you a listener of the show.
Yeah, I do listen.
This is from a 1903 publication called Medical Press and Circular. And it says here, Triscuit, the manufacturers of shredded wheat now prepare a product to which they have given the name Triscuit. This is a thrice-cooked biscuit. This is a thrice-cooked biscuit possessing considerable merit and novelty. The finely divided threads of entire wheat grains of which it is composed allow of more perfect cooking than would be possible in any form of bread and would also facilitate more perfect admixture with the saliva and gastric juices.
Oh, man, they're really buying
wow,
the hype
thought
in this
of everything.
Medical article.
Well, yeah, this is from Medical Press and Circular.
And that was what year?
1903.
Okay, so there's...
Okay, I'm thinking it's thrice cooked. It's thrice cooked.
Well, you say that, and then we get The Sketch, a journal of art and actuality. This is in Google Books. This was
published...
It just
has lightning bolts all over it.
Also in 1903. Well, kind okay. of.
Where is it?
We all eat too much, too often, and too luxuriously nowadays, with a result...
In 1903.
With a result that our harried constitutions revenge their injuries on our complexions, and rich food and sauces are evidenced in the sallow nuances of 10 faces out of 12.
Oh my God.
Apropos of food, the innovation of whole wheat shredded and baked by electricity has lately attracted much attention by reason of its hygienic qualities. The preparation is called Triscuit and is due to American inventiveness in the first instance, the North American Indian having originally prepared his food by simply crushing the whole wheat grains and then baking them between heated stones. This simple method has been closely followed in the preparation of Triscuit. Hey,
yeah, closely followed, a.k.a. taken.
Yeah. This simple method has been closely followed in preparation of Triscuit, now admittedly one of the foremost foods in its health-giving and brain-feeding properties.
Oh.
As a tea table adjunct, the Triscuit biscuits, made hot in the oven and sent up either dry or buttered, are quite excellent.
Wow. People Yum. Were loving Triscuits when they came out. They were like,
they were health food.
It was like a flying car for your mouth. People were losing their minds.
And this specifically called out electricity and not thrice baked. So more ambiguity.
Yeah. And these are both 1903.
These are, both 19. So it must have just.
So it seemed like there wasn't a clear consensus about what it meant at the time.
No. However, lots of people have sent us a third option that we hadn't considered or known about before.
No.
Yes.
That's kind of nice, though.
I think so, too. Here's a voice message from listener Jan with the theory.
Hi, my name is Jan. I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona. I'm a retired botanist. And while listening to your show about Triscuit, it occurred to me that the TRI might come from the scientific name for wheat. the ordinary bread wheat, which is Triticum estivum. The genus is Triticum, T-R-I-T-I-C-U-M. It's just a thought. I love your show. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. What a great theory.
Triticum estivum.
Yeah.
I also like that we have three theories.
Yeah. And this was sent in by other people too. This email from Rose says, regarding the name of Triscuit, has anyone considered that it may be related to the botanical name for wheat, Triticum? It was the first thing that came to mind listening to the episode, and I was waiting the whole time for it to come up. Just a thought from a plant nerd. Love the show, Rose. And there were many more of these. People know about the word Triticum, and I had never considered a third option.
And this, I saw this message come through, and I started to dig into if this had been thrown out there before, because the Triscuit conversation is ongoing, right? And people have brought this up, like when Sage's posts were first going viral, or other times when people are talking about like the origins of Triscuits. But it seemed like it never got traction. Like there's not a ton of it out there, but you'll find traces of people trying to be like, oh, what about this? But it never got any traction.
Mm-hmm.
Triticum biscuit.
It's just as likely to me as the other two.
Yeah,
honestly.
Especially like, given that it seems like this was presented as, and everyone was fully buying it as, this scientific breakthrough of the Triscuit. So to give it a name with scientific origins makes sense to me.
It was presented as a novel way of preparing wheat, specifically.
Right.
So this also seems kind of likely.
Right, like they named it after this. But then, like, most people don't know that. You know, it's like not necessarily common knowledge. So people just assigned their own meaning to it, either thrice baked or electricity.
I mean, it's also possible that, like, the marketing people in 1903 were aware of all of this. And they were like, cool, it's a really great name because it can be used in all these ways and it is applicable. It's the perfect name because it is so malleable to the way that this thing is made and what it means. Like, it's kind of a great name in this light.
Like all great art, it is subject to
multiple
many
interpretations.
Yes. So what we're saying is Triscuit is art and it's a masterpiece of a snack.
Right.
And it's worthy of as many podcasts as you could produce about it.
Yeah, right. Let's keep ringing this one out.
To know a Triscuit truly is a subjective pursuit.
Right. What does Triscuit mean to you? That's the question.
This is why every Triscuit cracker looks like it's looking at you, no matter what angle you're holding it at. Under Understood is Adrian Jeffries, Billy Disney, Regina DeLay, and me, John Lagomarsino. Ryan Manning is our editor. If you have a question that the internet can't answer, email us at hello@underunderstood.com or leave us a voicemail at
212-994-4882. That is 212-994-4882.
Thanks, Billy. You can find more information, transcripts, everything about the show at our website, underunderstood.com. You can also find us on Mastodon at underunderstood at mastodon.social. We're also on Instagram and Twitter, but we're a little bit less active in those places. We also have a Patreon where you can find over 100 bonus episodes. We do a monthly live show exclusively for patrons, and that's how you can support the show. Go to patreon.com/underunderstood to learn more and sign up. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back in 1 week with another episode.